संततो जाया मुदीरयत् नस्तप्रेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती तुम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवत नैष्ठिके ताराजस्तमो भाव कामलो वदयस्ते चेताय तैरनाविदं सित्वं सत्वे प्रसीदति. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 37, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Shri Yama Uvacha, Aho, Amisham, Vayasadikanam, Vipashyatam, Lokavidim, Vimoha, Yatra gatas, tatra gatam manushyam svayam sadharma api shochanti apartam. Sri Yama uvacha, aho amisham vyavasadikanam. Aho amisham vyavasadikanam. Vipashyatam loka vidim vimoha. Vipashyatam loka vidim vimoha. Yatra gatas tatra gatam manushyam. Yatra gatas tatra gatam manushyam. Svayam sadharma api shochanti apartam. Svayam sadharma api shochanti apartam. Sri Yama uvacha. Aho amisham vyavasadikanam. Vipashyatam loka vidim vimoha. Yatra gatas tatra gatam manushyam. Svayam sadharma pishuchantya partam. Sri Yama uvacha. Sri Yamaraj said, Aho, alas, Amisham, of these, Vayasa, by age, Adhikanam, of those advanced, Vipashyatam, seeing every day, Loka Vidim, the law of nature, that everyone dies. Vimoha, the bewilderment. Yatra, from where? Agataha, came. Tatra, there. Gatam, returned. Manushyam, the man. Swayam, themselves. Sadharmaha, similar in nature, prone to die. Api, although, shochanti, they lament. Apartam, uselessly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktananda Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Yamaraj said, alas, how amazing it is. These persons who are older than me have full experience that hundreds and thousands of living entities have taken birth and died. Thus they should understand that they are also apt to die. Yet still they are bewildered. The conditioned soul comes from an unknown place and returns after death to that same unknown place. There is no exception to this rule, which is conducted by material nature. Knowing this, why do they uselessly lament? Report. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, text number 28, Avyaktani nibhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata avyaktani dananyeva tatraka paridevana. All created beings are unmanifest in their beginning, manifest in their interim state, and unmanifest again when they are annihilated. So what need is there for lamentation? Accepting that there are two classes of philosophers, one believing in the existence of the soul and the other not believing in its existence, there is no cause for lamentation in either case. Non-believers in the existence of the soul are called atheists by followers of Vedic wisdom. Yet even if, for argument's sake, we accept the atheistic theory, there is still no cause for lamentation. Apart from the separate existence of the soul, the material elements remain unmanifested before creation. From this subtle state of unmanifestation comes manifestation, just as from ether, air is generated. From air, fire is generated. From fire, water is generated. And from water, earth becomes manifested. From the earth, many varieties of manifestations take place. For example, a big skyscraper is manifested from the earth. When it is dismantled, the manifestation becomes again unmanifested and remains as atoms in the ultimate stage. The law of conservation of energy remains. But in the course of time, things are manifested and unmanifested. That is the difference. Then what is the cause for lamentation in either manifestation or unmanifestation? Somehow or other, even in the unmanifested stage, things are not lost. Both at the beginning and at the end, all animate elements remain unmanifested. And this does not make any real material difference. If we accept the Vedic conclusion as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Antavanta ime deha, that these material bodies are perishable in due course of time, Nitasyokta sharirina, but that the soul is eternal, then we must remember always that the body is like a dress. Therefore, why lament the changing of a dress? The material body has no factual existence in relation to the eternal soul. It is something like a dream. In a dream, we may think of flying in the sky or sitting on a chariot as a king. But when we wake up, we see that we are neither in the sky nor seated on the chariot. The Vedic wisdom encourages self-realization on the basis of the non-existence of the material body. Therefore, in either case, whether one believes in the existence of the soul or one does not believe in the existence of the soul, there is no cause for lamentation, for loss of the body. The Mahabharata is said, Adarshana dihayata punascha darshanangata. This statement could support the theory of the atheistic scientist that the child in the womb of the mother has no life but is simply a lump of matter. To follow this theory, if the lump of matter is aborted by a surgical operation, no life is killed. The body of a child is like a tumor, and if a tumor is operated upon and thrown away, no sin is involved. The same argument could be put forward in regard to the king and his queens. The body of the king was manifested from an unmanifested source, and again it became unmanifested from manifestation. Since the manifestation exists only in the middle, between the two points of unmanifestation, why should one cry for the body manifested in the interim? Sri Yama Uvacha, Aho Amisham Vyavasadikanam, Vipashyatam Loka Vidim Vimoha, Yatragatastatragatam Manushyam, Svayang Sadharma Apishochantya Partham. Sri Jamaraj said, alas, how amazing it is. These persons who are older than me have full experience that hundreds and thousands of living entities have taken birth and died. Thus they should understand that they are also apt to die. Yet still they are bewildered. The conditioned soul comes from an unknown place and returns after death to that same unknown place. There is no exception to this rule, which is conducted by material nature. Knowing this, why do they uselessly lament? Hare Krishna. We are very happy and fortunate to be here again at the lotus feet of Sisi Radha Radhika Raman, Shri Krishna Balaram, Jagannath Baladev Subhadadevi, Shri Gauritai, Srila Prabhupada, in the assembly of all the Vaishnavas. We are on pilgrimage, going to holy places, collecting dust from holy people. So we have come here on our mission, collect dust. So in Delhi there is a lot of dust, so it is a good place to collect dust. This is a holy place because this is a place where Srila Prabhupada performed many of his pastimes. Srila Prabhupada came here to publish Bhagavatam. He was residing in Vrindavan, but he would journey regularly to Delhi to do book distribution and preaching and to collect funds for publishing his Bhagavatam. In fact, for 8 years, that was Srila Prabhupada's main occupation, writing first canto and getting the books published and getting them distributed. So, there is the Janmasthan, but there is the Lilasthan also. Krishna, he appeared in Mathura, in the prison cell of Kamsa. But why is Vrindavan so much more prominent in our tradition? Yes, people go to Mathura. Yes, they take darshan in Janmasthan. But Vrindavan is the place where he performed his pastimes, where he engaged in his loving exchanges with his eternal devotees. So in the same way, yes, Srila Prabhupada, he appeared in Calcutta. And he resided in Vrindavan. But in Delhi is where he actually made the plan for his worldwide mission. Because Prabhupada had a vision. He had a vision of an international society of devotees who would chant Hare Krishna all over the world. And he started to realize this mission, particularly here in Delhi. So, we're very fortunate to be here and to witness the unfolding of Srila Prabhupada's vision. It is not that when Krishna leaves this world or when the Acharya leaves the world that the mission stops and everything comes to a halt. No. A true leader, a true visionary, he organizes things in such a way that even in his absence, things will go on in a very powerful way. That is the actual greatness of a leader. If we want to be leaders, we should organize things in such a way that things go on even better when we're not there. Not that everything depends on me, and if I'm not here, nothing moves. Nobody can do anything. It's total constipation. Nobody can make a decision. You know, when you travel a lot, you get vata disorders and there's constipation. So sometimes also, we're traveling a lot in our minds and there's vata disorder and we become constipated. It is not a very pleasurable experience. So here, people sometimes make the argument, you sadhus, you're outward worldly people. You're not related to reality. You've lost grip. You've lost touch with reality. Isn't that one of the arguments that we hear sometimes? Okay, so let's analyze. Is this topic relevant for realistic people? Who is speaking here? Sri Hiranyakashipu Ruvacha. Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, the most powerful of the materialists, he's talking. So, when Bill Gates, when Warren Buffett, when one of the presidents speaks, everybody pays great attention, right? Because they say, hey, top dog is talking. Pay attention, okay? He made it to the top. So, pay attention. So this is Hiranyakashipu talking. So if you claim to be a materialist, you claim to be a realist, you claim to be a successful person in this world, you better pay attention. Because this is number one talking here from a material point of view. Now why is he talking? Because his brother Hiranyaksha just died. And his mother and his relatives, they were all lamenting. Now this scenario is quite a common scenario. People do die. It does happen. Even in Delhi, I've heard, right? What is the death rate in Delhi? 100%, still. Come on. I thought you... Consistent. At least increase it, you know, to 110 or 120. No. Everybody who is born in this world has to die. There's no exception to the rule. This is reality. So people who are interested in realism, they should pay attention. Because this topic is related to us. It means it's relevant. Because I'm in the same situation. And he's telling this little story. Because people love stories. You know, if you tell stories, it captivates the audience. That's why Gop Kumar, in the Briya Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami, when he talks to the Brahmin of Mathura, the uneducated Brahmin, he tells him, let me tell you a little story. And you know what's the most compelling story? Personal testimony. Do you know what just happened to me 5 minutes ago? Ooh, everybody wants to know. They're all interested. So, he's telling this story of this king who dies. And all his queens are lamenting. And then comes this little boy and he starts talking philosophy. Now when little children come and they talk, everybody is very much enchanted. Ooh. Even if the kid goes goo goo gaga goo 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 goo, everybody's like, ah, how wonderful. Huh? Even if he's drooling, still, doesn't matter. He's a kid. So, if the kid talks philosophy, ooh, then everybody is really enthralled and they pay full attention. Now, this kid is not an ordinary kid. This kid is Yamaraj, who had appeared in order to give the wisdom, the Vedic wisdom. Because Yamaraj is not only the superintendent of death, who is judging all living entities who are sinful, but he's also a Mahajan. Svayamburna Rakshambhu Kumara Kapilomanu Pralada Janaka Bhishmo Balir Vayasakir Vayam. So Yamaraj, as a Mahajan, is giving this Atma Tattva Gyan, this knowledge which is in regards to the eternal nature of the living entity. So here, he's saying, alas, how amazing it is. Even though hundreds and thousands of people have been born and have died, everybody thinks it's not going to happen to me, right? Don't you think like that? It's not going to happen to me. Because, you know, I'm smarter than that. I won't let that happen, right? I mean, I know how to protect myself. I know what to eat and what not to eat. I know how to keep clean. I take medicines. I've got security systems and CCTV cameras, right? Everybody thinks I can beat the system. Somewhere, in the back of the mind. But this vague possibility that we'll die becomes a stark reality as time progresses. Because all of a sudden, not only our grandparents, but even our parents, but even our peers are starting to fade away. And they're taking that journey over the Viraja River. They're going on that journey of no return. So at one point, we're starting to wonder, what's going on here? Maybe there is a slight chance that it will happen to me also. But it's amazing that even though death is all present, each and every living entity, being under this bodily concept of life, thinks, is not going to happen to me. Why? Because being Satchidananda, being eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, we cannot conceive of a situation where we don't exist. Like, try to think for a moment about a state of non-existence. Just give it a moment's thought. Can you imagine a state of non-existence? It's not possible. We can't conceive of a state of non-existence. Why? Because we exist. And being in existence, we cannot conceive of not existing. It's beyond our intellectual and mental ability to perceive. So this body is an embarrassment for the soul because this body is asat, achit, and nirananda. It is temporary. It is full of ignorance, and there's a lot of suffering related to this body. Have you ever noticed? Or is it just me? There's quite a bit of difficulty associated with this body. Now, under the bodily conception of life, the living entity thinks, Ishvaroham aham bhogi, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. But a person who is actually inquisitive, who is actually intelligent, is asking pertinent questions to the reality of its own state of existence. Kayami, who am I? And what am I doing in this world? That is the beginning of spiritual life. Atato brahma jigyasa. Now is the time to inquire about the nature of the self. So, Yamaraj is speaking here that the living entities are bewildered. This bewilderment, vimoha, moha, it is a constant factor, this bewilderment. Just like the fog in Delhi, it's a constant factor, right? Delhi fog. Sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's less. But it's always there. In the same way, this fog, this bewilderment, vimoha, being clouded, one's sense of judgment being clouded by this cloud, this haze of illusion, is a constant factor in the living entity. Very rarely do you meet somebody who is actually clear in his head, who is actually lucid. You know lucid? Clear. Like a clear lamp, uncontaminated, unwavered. So this lucidity, this clear state of mind, is achieved through the process of Cheto Dharpana Marjana. You see the lamp, the Deepa, it's always shining bright. The problem is not the lamp. The problem is the mirror of the consciousness, the Cheta. That is where decontamination takes place. Because in this material world, the living entity being associated with tri bir gunamair bhavair ebi sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabijanati. Being associated with tri gunamai jai shishi radhika radharadhika ramana shishi krishna balaram jagannath balane subhadevi gauri tai ki. Being associated with the three modes of material nature, our mirror of the mind becomes clouded. Because these three gunas, there's like three shades, like the three base colors. What are the three base colors? Red, blue, and yellow. And any shape, any shade, any color you see in this world is a mixture of these three base colors. So, our consciousness becomes jaded by these gunas because of our misidentification. Just like we think, I'm an Indian, or I'm a Swiss, or I'm a man, or I'm a woman. But in the same way, when you're driving a Toyota, are you Japanese? Or you're driving an Audi? Are you German? Or you're driving a Tata? Are you an Indian? No, it's just a card, right? You're not your car, you're not your shirt, you're not your body. But even though people claim to be realists, they claim to be very thoughtful and wise, they cannot consecutively follow through on this logical thought. It's a very simple logical step, right? I'm not my car, I'm not my shirt, I'm not my body. But then again, they revert back to the old pattern. Why? Because of a strong sense of attachment. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the jiva, because of this hritaya dhaurbalyam, this weakness of the heart, we are attracted to matter like the moths is attracted to the fire. We're attracted and we want to own and enjoy matter. We see something and we think, ooh, this is nice. I want. In fact, I need. If I don't have, I can't live. It's just not possible. I was just in Jagannath Puri for Jagannath's Ratha Yatra. And it's amazing to see when you go on these yatras how your basic needs become reduced to the minimum. Till at one point, you actually just experience prana, just to be alive in a crowd of 12 lakhs of people. You're satisfied. Hey, I'm still alive, you know? Okay, my legs are black from my knee down to my toes because thousands of people have stepped on me. And I'm totally soaked because it's been raining continuously. But we're happy. Why? Because I'm still alive. You forget about all these other things. So, there's no exception to this rule, which is conducted by material nature. Prakrite krimanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate vimudha. A great ass, a great fool, is thinking under this ahankar, this principle, ahankar, of I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. But this is a state of bewilderment. If you forget everything about today's class, but you just remember this shloka, 327, Prakrite Kriyamanani, you meditate on this. This is your mission for this week, okay? Study this verse in Prabhupada's purport. We just realized this one shloka. You will be more advanced than 99.99999% of the planet. You want to be a topper? You want to be in the top scoring mark? You understand Bhagavad Gita 3:27 and you act according to it. And you become free from most of the problems of this world. So what is the consequence? The consequence is this body is temporary. It's not going to be here forever. It's only been here for a few short years. And after that, again, it will turn back into its original state. So, why spend all our energy, all our attention, all our effort just looking after the body? Matras parshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukadukada agamapa ino nityam tangstitikshas subharata. Just like the changings of seasons. Right now there's this change of season coming, right? Rainy season is just about to start. So everybody's very happy. Oh, it's not so hot anymore. But now it gets more rainy and more wet. Always something's wrong. It's like when I landed again in India. You feel like, hey, somebody left the heating on, you know? They didn't turn the heating off. What happened? For you, it's a normal state. So, if you realize, I'm a spirit soul, I'm not this body, you get free from most of the miseries of this material world. Just by following four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Because a devotee is like a chataka bird. The chataka bird is not taking water from the earth. He's only taking water from the cloud. But sometimes there is thunder, sometimes there is lightning. But the bird refuses to take water from the ground. In the same way, a devotee refuses to take joy or pleasure here in this world. Because the devotee does not drink from these pots of poison. Sukha dukhe same kritva. We're not looking for sukha. We're looking for ananda. We're looking for that real happiness, which is only being perceived through bhakti, through loving devotional service with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now in these days, people don't even understand basic ABCs. They don't even understand this. You go up to anybody and you ask them, my dear sir, who are you? They will say, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm the other thing. You say, no, that's your job. No, that's your body. That's your social position. That's your economic position. I want to know, who are you? The person behind the facade. Is there anybody behind the facade? I hope so. So who is that person? That is the jiva, the atma. Little jiva. Little jiva, who is quite confused, who is quite bewildered. So these people who were lamenting, they're experiencing this grief due to loss. So there is some window of opportunity. It's called smashana vairagya. It's the renunciation at the burning ghat. You've ever been to a funeral? People get a little philosophical for like 5 or 7 minutes or something, right? Between the ritual and they go and get drunk. In between, you have 5 or 7 minutes where they're somewhat lucid, they're somewhat sober, and you can talk to them about something important. So they're very good places to preach, actually. Manikarnika Ghat, Varanasi, best place for book distribution. Especially if you have this book, Beyond Birth and Death, Janma Mritu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Nudarshanam, boom, you give them. And they're like, ooh! They see the skull, you know. And you go like, you know, you, now, here. But in future, in few days, you'll be here. Just look, what happened? It's a problem. Houston, we have a problem here. You want to solve this problem of birth, death, old age, and disease? It's a problem. This is the solution. So Krishna consciousness is the solution to the problems of this world. There are no material solutions to material problems. In fact, the Bhagavatam tells us that the solution is a bigger problem than the original problem itself. And many times we have seen, you have some difficulty and you try to somehow patch it up. And your patchwork becomes more troublesome than the original problem. Just like people thought, let's make a nice big city, right? Because we will enjoy it. Because so much opportunity for sense gratification, so much opportunity for business. But then what happens? Quality of life is gone. No more prana. Have you ever noticed when you're in Delhi? There's practically no prana. It's just not there. It's conspicuously absent. Huh? Everything is judged by all the food. Everything is produced just by weight. There's no more rasa. There's no more taste. Stress, traffic, corruption, pollution. Should I go on? Or is it enough before breakfast? So we thought, let's make a nice place, a nice city, and we can really have a good time and enjoy. But what has happened? It has turned into something quite opposite, something quite different. Now a devotee, he sees that this is actually an opportunity for preaching Krishna consciousness. And if you have this attitude, you're not in Delhi. You're in Vaikuntha. Like Prabhupada, he resided in Vrindavan, but he came to Delhi to preach and to publish Bhagavatam. Yes, he was also undergoing severe difficulties, walking around in the heat of Delhi, saving the bus fare, going by foot when it's 50, 60 degrees outside, getting heat stroke, talking to people, please take a magazine back to Godhead, please take a book, please, can you help me in this mission? Can you imagine Prabhupada going from tea stall to tea stall? People are smoking bidis and drinking tea. Ah. Huh? Kichu lagbe na. I don't need this. What do you want? Prabhupada going himself, person to person, to spread this mission. Why? Because he has compassion in his heart. Devotee has compassion. A Vaishnava is compassionate. Titikshava karunika suridam sarvadehinam ajata shatrava santa sarava sadubhushana. Our ornaments are not our dress, our alankars, our different jewelry, our house, our car, our accolades of learning. No. The sadubhushana are his good qualities. But what are those? Titiksha. To be tolerant. It's so difficult to be tolerant nowadays. Because we think, I have money. I know people. I have a phone. People have to do what I want. It doesn't work like that. So, material nature is there continuously baffling, frustrating our attempts of supremacy. So the body is tolerant. That's why it's so important that we go out and we engage in preaching work. Otherwise we get stuck in comfort zone. Now it's nice to be comfortable, but usually surrender doesn't take place in comfort zone. Surrender means you have to surrender, you have to depend on Krishna. You have to take higher help. And you have to say in your heart of hearts, Krishna, I can't do this. You please help me. People are lost. They're suffering due to the dense darkness of ignorance. They don't even realize that there is a problem. That is the biggest problem. Most people still think it's all fine. Everything's good. Like the goats who are eating some grass and having some sex. Meanwhile, the guy in front of it has his head chopped off. And he's next in line, but he's thinking, oh, no problem. Everything under control. And you say, hey, look ahead. What's happening? Oh, that's that fellow, you know. He doesn't know what's going on. It won't happen to me. So to become dhira, to become sober, means that we're reducing this feverish condition. Siddhis means rajagun. There is a lot of feverish mentality. More, 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 more. Everybody's running around and their mantra is rupi, 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 rupi. That's their mantra. But we have a different mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Real wealth is bhakti. That person who came to Sanatana Goswami and asked him for the touchstone. Sanatana said, yeah, there in the garbage, go take it. After a while he came back, he said, if he's keeping it in garbage, it means he's got something better. I want the best thing you have. Sanatana said, yes, but there is small price. What is that? You have to give up touchstone. And because he had faith, in the words of Sanatana Goswami, because he saw this is a saintly person. This person is selfless. So he trusted him. So he gave up, threw away that stone, and accepted the holy name of Krishna. So bhakti, this shraddha, is the most valuable commodity, the most precious thing that we have in life. Don't let anyone or anything discourage you, especially not yourself. Don't allow yourself to discourage yourself. Because the mind is a very tricky fellow. It's telling you, hey Baba, you've been chanting for how long now? 6 months. Where is the bhav? Where is the ecstasy? 6 months I'm doing this Hare Krishna business. Oh, where is the result? But even from a material perspective, people go to study, they go to school, they study for 20 years to learn a profession. Before they even are allowed to practice. In bhakti, right from the first day, you walk into this door. You're qualified. You're an adhikari. Now what is your qualification? I was distributing Prabhupada's books in Udupi, Karnataka, very conservative place. Madhavacharya's head seat. around Krishnamath. There is Cart Street. They have Rath Yatra every day. And there was one pandit with many books on his arm. And he had his disciples. And he had, you know, dhoti, chadar, tilak, everything, pakka. And I went up to him and I gave him, I said, excuse me, sir, sorry, I have something for you. And I gave him a small book of Prabhupada. And all the disciples, they looked at me and they went like, hey, hey, don't you know who this is? You know, this is Shastriji, this is Panditji. What are you trying to teach to our guru? And he looked at me and he asked me, what is your qualification? And I was like, and now, if somebody asks you that, it means, what is your gotra? What is your educational background? What's your family tradition? And I was thinking in my mind that whatever answer I will give him, he will not like it. Because who am I? What do I have to show for myself? So I simply remembered this shloka, Gopi Bharta Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa. So I said that. And he smiled. And he took out 10 rupees and gave it to me. And he said, very nice, I accept that. We may not be the most knowledgeable. We may not be the most austere. We may not be the most anything. In fact, we may just be another face in the crowd. But if we, with faith and devotion and sincerity, study Prabhupada's books, and you just realize one shloka, Prakrite Kriyamanani, and you just quote that shloka, people will respect you, people will accept you, people will appreciate you, just because you have accepted the words from the pure devotee. Now so many people say, we have so many Gitas. We got Gorakhpur Gita Press, this Gita, that Gita. What is your contribution? Why should we take this A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami? Right? People argue sometimes, no? I have so many Gitas at home. Why do I need more Gita? Huh? In fact, too many books, you know? Too much confusion. Why one more book? More confusion. Ah. So we tell them, in English there was 400 editions of Gita. And that has not been able to produce one single devotee of Krishna. That is quite astounding. That's quite an achievement.
If you think about it
for a while. That's quite a tremendous achievement. 400 editions and not one bhakta has been produced. What a tremendous waste of time, energy and paper and resource. But when Prabhupada wrote his Bhagavad Gita as it is, not only did it become the most widely read, the most popular, the most scientific, the most authoritative version of the Gita, but it has created millions and millions of Krishna Bhakta all over the world. That's why you need Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because this book makes the difference. Because this is the real deal. This is as good as it gets. But in order to have this faith, we have to read Prabhupada's books every day. Prabhupada said, I only have one criticism to my followers. They do not read my books enough. They think these books are only meant for selling. You can't go up to people and say, hey, you, take this book. It will make you happy. Just look at me. Sadhuji is in angry mood today. They will say, if I read this book, I will become like you. I don't want that. Achar and prachar. We have to practice what we preach. When they have questions, we should know the answer. Not that we say, my guru has written these books for me to sell and for you to read. I don't have time for this, you know. I'm simply busy selling. So, physicians, heal thyself. Nobody trusts a sick doctor. Nobody trusts a businessman who is always broke, who is always in bankruptcy. Say, maybe you should change your job, you know, do something else. And nobody trusts a sadhu who is not really feeling blissful. Now, a devotee also has anxiety, but that anxiety is of a different kind. Naibodvijaya paradurate vaitaranyas tadiregayanam ahamrita magnachita shocheta domyukucheta sindhyartam maya sukhayam paramudva hatovi mudhan. Prabhupada was always absorbed in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. How can I save these fools and rascals who are suffering? His trouble is not for his own sake. His trouble is for the sake of others. Like a doctor, he's in anxiety. Let me save my patients. Let me help the people. So, this Krishna conscious movement is making a huge difference all over the world. And we can help. We can assist. So, Yamaraj is giving us very interesting instructions, and Srila Prabhupada in his purports, very scientifically, very meticulously, he's nailing it on the head, argument for argument, argument for argument. Even if you're an atheist, even if you don't believe in the existence of God, still there is nothing to lament. Because there's the law of conservation of energy. Nothing can just poof, disappear. So, that means nothing is lost. Everything's still there. So why are you lamenting? If you are an atheist, if you are a materialist, why are you lamenting the loss of a relative or of a friend? There's nothing to be lamenting. There's nothing to be upset about. But people are not actually following their own philosophies, you see. Philosophies have just become a hobby. It has just become some sort of entertainment. People are not actually strictly following their school of thought. They don't even know what it means. So, Krishna consciousness is the solution to the problems of this world. Now, there's so many good causes. People are concerned about the environment, right? Now, slowly, things are developing and people in India are waking up. Let's save the Yamuna. Let's save the trees. Let's save the animals. Let's save the kids. Let's save the ladies and the old people. Let's save the planet. There's so many good causes, but there is one great cause. Asti heko mahatpunat kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parambraje. What is that great cause? If you actually take charge of Krishna's cause, all the other causes are included in that one cause. That is the great cause. Can you imagine solving all the problems of the world with one stroke? If you would have the cure to cancer, the cure to pollution, the cure to traffic jams, the solution to heartbreak, to wars and violence and economic difficulties, what would that solution be worth? Can you put a price to this? It's priceless. Absolutely priceless. So what is that solution? That solution is Krishna consciousness. If a person actually knows about Krishna, tattvataha, janma karma chame divyang evang yoveti tattvataha, tyaktva deham punar janma, naiti mam eti sorjuna. If a person actually knows about Krishna in truth, all these problems, janma mrityu jara vyadhir dukkha dosha darshan, all these problems are finished in one stroke. Including the environment, including the pollution, including the traffic jams, including the heartbreak and the heart attacks and all the other difficulties. So, this process of Krishna consciousness is magic. People want to see magic. Don't go to the circus and pay 50 rupee and see some guy pulling some rabbit from a hat, you know, and cutting some lady in half, and doing some hocus pocus. If you really want to see the magic, apply yourself to this process of bhakti. And look into the mirror and you will see the metamorphosis. You will see the change of heart, the transformation. Every butterfly has been a caterpillar. Every criminal has a future and every saint has a past. You know Valmiki Muni? He was a dacoit. But Narad Muni gave him the mantra, Mara, Mara, Mara. Death, death, death. And he really liked that mantra. And he was chanting, Mara, 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 Mara. And after a while, it became Rama, Rama, Rama. And he became purified. And he changed his ways. In the same way, we should give people a chance. We are all sitting here today because somebody is dropping continuous drops of nectar, Amrit, on our head. That's the only reason why we're here today. Somebody's dropping nectar on our head. Now, my humble request to all of you or to all of us is, let us become such fountains of nectar and to drop nectar on so many other people's heads. And in this way, we'll also cultivate so many people who will come to Krishna consciousness. And in this way, we can actually please Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, and we can get the blessings. There is only one way to escape Yamaraj. You know what that is? Yamaraj likes kirtan a lot. You know? So when you make ferocious, when you make tremendous kirtan, then Yamaraj joins that kirtan. And then his job is put on hold, you know? Things are standby mode, because he's in kirtan right now, you know? The boss is busy. He's busy doing kirtan. So if you want to escape Yamaraj, just engage continuously. Satatam kirtayan tomam yajantas chadridavrata. Engage continuously in hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. And you will never have to face Yamaraj. Huh? In fact, Yamaraj is a Vaishnava. He's a very great personality, Mahajan. So the devotee has nothing to be afraid of Yamaraj. Just like for an honest citizen, the police force, the army, is not a threat. He feels happy seeing the police. He feels happy seeing them. Whereas for the criminal, this is, you know, a different scenario. So to come out of our conditioned state is required. And for that we need Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andhakara, Yahan Krishna Tan Maya Adhikar. The sun is always in the sky. Right now it looks like, where is the sun? There is no sun. Why? Delhi fog. The smog. But sun is always there. It's us who are under this cloud of illusion. So, if you go into the airplane, 5 minutes up, clear sky, beautiful sun, always. If you take the airplane of Harinam Sankirtan, you just join kirtan, you just start chanting intensely, few moments, and you're experiencing this ananda. Have you made this experiment? Just like we've all taken airplane, and few short moments and that's it, you're there. Same way. How to take shelter of this kirtan? Mahaprabhu has given us the formula. Trinara pisuniche na tarorivasahishnuna amanena manadena kirtanya sadahari. Because sometimes we stop chanting. Why do we stop chanting? Because we think there are other things which are more important. Our priorities are different. But chanting should go on all the time. Continuously. 24 hours. So we can chant audibly, we can chant in our mind, we can chant in our heart. We should never be separate from Krishna. Then Maya cannot touch you. Because Maya is Krishna's servant. So, Srila Prabhupada has given us this most valuable gift. When Prabhupada came to England, they asked him, why have you come? We have culture, we have religion, we have developed society. Why have you come? What's your purpose? Prabhupada said, the Britishers have been in India for 150 years. And they stole and looted. And when they left India, they took so much. All the crown jewels in London, all from India. But he said, you forgot to take the most precious jewel. So I have come to bring you this gift. You forgot to steal it when you were in our place. So I've come to give you what you forgot to take. Now that's real generosity. Somebody comes and steals from you, and then you go after them and say, excuse me, sir, you forgot to take this. You know, I've come to bring you. Please take this also. This is the most precious thing. Please take it also. So what is that jewel? Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada has come to give that most precious gift. So we have come here on pilgrimage to Delhi because this is the world capital of book distribution. Not just the capital of Bharat, but also the world capital of book distribution. Everybody's looking, what's Delhi doing? Huh? So, today we'll have a few more meetings and workshops on how to not only distribute lakhs and crores of books, but also how to take care of people, how to involve them in Krishna consciousness. Because from getting a Bhagavad Gita till they're actually sitting here chanting their rounds, it's a big journey. And we have to make more stepping stones. They can't jump from here to here, you know? It's not possible. We have to break that journey and make it easier for people to practice Krishna consciousness. So, we thank you for your sincerity, for your great Guru Bhakti, and your tremendous enthusiasm for pushing forward Krishna consciousness in this most important city, of New Delhi, Hastinapur. This is the place where Prabhupada performed his pastime. So this is a historic place in many ways. If you want to be a revolutionary, you want to be part of history, this is your chance. You can make a difference. Each and every one of us can make a difference. But we have to start here, because charity starts at home. So let us take this message of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and then share it with everybody whom we meet. So always carry Prabhupada's books with you. Whoever you meet, give people a chance to take books. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very enthusiastic lecture. You said that splendor means to be out of comfort zone.
Yes.
Can you please elaborate? Because normal tendency is to serve in the comfort zone only. The services which are outside the comfort zone, I avoid. So how to get the courage to come out of the comfort zone?
Like Kunti Devi, she's praying in her famous prayer, let these calamities come again and again. Because in difficult times, you're very much present. But when things are going nicely, usually we tend to forget the Lord. Because we think everything is all right. We figured it out. So a devotee is actually welcoming difficulties. You don't have to pray. You don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will come and find you. But a devotee sees that actually difficulties, this is Krishna's mercy. A materialist is thinking, oh, how unfair, how unjust, and starts to scream and yell and point fingers and blame. But a devotee sees this is Krishna's mercy. When Maharaj Parikshit got the news that he had been cursed, he said, very good. I deserve that. And he took positive steps to get the best benefit out of the situation. We can't change the situations anyway, for the most part. No matter how much we try to rearrange things. So, most of us, we're trying very hard to be in comfort zone. We try to be comfortable, one way or the other. Shifting. But real comfort is not to be found in this world. So I have adopted a new philosophy, a new strategy, which I like to share with you. If comfort zone becomes uncomfortable, it means that we're actually becoming comfortable outside of comfort zone. The sadhus, they have a saying, if it's comfortable, don't do it. If it means comfort, be aware. Huh? Be cautious. So, we should try to always, like when people give charity, don't just do it because it makes you feel good. Don't just do it because it's a duty. Don't just do it because, yes, I'm religious and I'm paying my tax, or I'm a nice guy. We should give as much till it hurts, which means we become slightly uncomfortable, because then there is actually a benefit. You know, in English we have this saying, no pain, no gain. And it's not a masochistic statement, but there has to be some actual transformation. We have to let go of something to actually be able to fully embrace Krishna. Vidyante hridaya grantis chidyante sarva sansaya. So, of course, when we have the advanced consciousness, then nothing is an impediment. Even our facilities and our situations will not divert our attention from Krishna's service. That's why the Pandavas, in their very self-same body, they went back to Krishna. Because that body was spiritual. It was not an impediment. So if we are actually engaged in the Lord's service in pure love, then nothing will be an impediment. Nothing will be a distraction from Krishna. But in our case, when we become comfortable, what happens? We fall asleep. Have you ever noticed? You have your perfect sofa and your nice food and everything is perfect and you just fall asleep. And that's very boring. So, a devotee is looking for situations where he has to surrender, where he has to put in a little extra effort. That's why in the purport of the Vyavasyatmika Budhirekeya Kurunandana verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says, the perfection of the life of the disciple is to serve the order of the spiritual master. Burijan Prabhu said, after 40 years of studying Prabhupada's books, his conclusion is, you have to surrender to the instruction of Guru. And you're doing that very nicely here in Delhi. That's why you're feeling blissful. Yasyadeve prabhaktirya tadeve tatagurauta syaite katidahirta prakashante mahatmana. If you please sadhus, you please Guru, nothing is not achieved. All the purports of the Vedas will become revealed in your heart. That's the shortcut. In Delhi, everybody is looking for a shortcut, right? How to get ahead, how to cut ahead, how to cut in, you know? I want to get ahead in the game. Everybody looking for, this is your shortcut. You want shortcut, here is shortcut. You please Guru, everything is possible. And if we don't please Guru, then we have to deal with Durga. Durga. Ga. Durgama. It makes going very difficult. You cannot move. But if you please Guru, you'll have jet engines. You'll be moving at lightning speed. Any other points? Yes. Yes, I hear you. Just speak. No, you should not feel comfortable. It should hurt. Yes. It means you give more than you can afford to give. No, Krishna will be happy because he sees your surrender. He sees you're endeavoring. You're actually endeavoring. If somebody has 1 crore but he's giving 1,000 rupees, big deal. But if somebody has 1,000 rupees and he gives 1,000 rupees, that's a big deal. He gave everything. It's Sharanagati, that's full surrender. Otherwise, it's just calculative. And we come here and we do our rituals. But Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardhan. He looks for the essence. What is the essence? That's that feeling in our heart. Now, if that feeling is pain and agony, that's not very pleasing to Krishna. But if that feeling in your heart is, yes, I have faith that Krishna will look after me. I have faith that this is the best thing I can do. Krishna is very pleased by that surrender. But don't get into panic mode, you know. Oh, I just gave my house and my car and my money and everything. And then, you know, your family asks you, okay, now what are we going to eat today? Well, I don't know, I just gave it all to the temple, you know. So, still, you have to maintain your responsibilities. You have to be able to function in this world. Now, some of the Vaishnavas were so magnanimous that they would continuously give everything away. That's why some of them had caretakers. They had somebody who was appointed to look after their finances because they were too generous. They would just continuously give it all away like that. But usually that's not our problem. Usually our problem is more we play it very safe. And then we wonder, where is the bliss? Where is the actual... It's not there. Krishna already owns everything. It's not the thing. Krishna wants your bhakti. He wants your love. And that for us means surrender. It means I'm trusting Krishna. I'm taking this leap of faith that Krishna will preserve what I have and He will carry what I lack. Yoga kshema vaham yaham. This is a practical process, not just some theoretical concept. So we're very fortunate Srila Prabhupada has given us this ISKCON movement. We can apply ourselves to this practice of Krishna consciousness. It's not just some armchair philosophy. Something very practical. Bhakti is practical. Sometimes devotees came to Prabhupada and were praising him with great words. And like there's this devotee in Vrindavan, Vishal. You know Vishal? Short, stocky. And he would always chant shlokas and praise. And many times Prabhupada got annoyed. Sometimes he tolerated, smiled, but sometimes he got annoyed. And he said, why don't you go and do something practical? Okay. Now he's a very practical person. He distributes Prabhupada's books. One time I was sitting in a class in Vrindavan, Bhagavatam class. This is the last story, then we close up. And Vishal sits next to me. We're listening to Bhagavatam. And Vishal looks at me, I look at Vishal, Vishal smiles, I smile at him, and he gives me three small books. I look at the books, yeah, okay. So, and then I look at him and he says, give me a donation. And I'm like, Vishal, this is Bhagavatam class, you can't do this. We're in Vrindavan, this is sacred. And Vishal's like, I can't help it. It's just my nature, I just have to distribute books. So, okay, I give him some money and I go outside in front of Samadhi and I catch some people from Delhi and I distribute the books to them. So when it becomes second nature, in your sleep, you're saying, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita. Huh? You're waking up everybody because you're talking in your sleep, preaching. Ah, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. Right now we are having still other types of dreams, other types of nightmares. Like it is mentioned here in the purport, we're still flying in an airplane and sitting on a throne and going to a few dances and doing a few other nonsense things. Huh? And then we wake up, oh, everything gone. But when we become so absorbed in seva, that even in our state of dreaming, we dream about doing the seva. Please, just give a little more, you know? Sometimes I have these dreams where I give people like many, many books and they hand me bags of money, you know? It's just... The point is absorption. How to be absorbed. When that lady stepped on Lord Chaitanya and on Garuda Stambha, Govinda told her to get down. Mahaprabhu criticized, he chastised, he said, "You're an Adivasi. You're an Aborigine. This lady is so enthusiastic. I would like to be as absorbed in Jagannath as she is." What is our absorption? What is our bhava? Because Krishna is bhava grahi janardan. He accepts the essence, the bhava. So let us introspect. Look into our own hearts. What is my bhava? Which bhav am I in? Am I still in survival mode? Or am I in compassion mode? Am I thinking how to spread this movement? So, one little experiment for each and every one of you. Please take 5 books with you. Small books, medium books, Gitas, whatever. Just carry them in your bag. And see, where is that person who will receive that book now? The whole world will change. Usually we look into the world and we think, nice, not nice, I like, I don't like, I like, I don't like, oh, enjoyment, oh no, very bad. But then you will see, oh, where is that person where I can give Krishna? Where is that candidate? Can I give a book to you? Can I give a book to you? So your whole view, your whole mentality will change 180 degrees. Try it. You're all engineers, scientists, lawyers, doctors, gentlemen and scholars and ladies. So you make this experiment. Carry Prabhupada's books with you. See how it will change your vision. It will change your view of the world. And that's quite an important change. Because otherwise, we will still be absorbed in material consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is the practical solution. This is practical. Because people are dying as we speak. And there is a need for a solution to these problems. So we have the solution by the mercy of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's servants. So let us build this Krishna conscious community, this Sangha, where people feel comfortable to hear and chant and serve and experience this bhav of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, so we'll thank His Grace Naveen Neeraj Prabhu with a loud Hari Bol. Hari Bol! So Prabhuji is having a wonderful seminar in the evening also, Art of Care and Cultivation and Food Distribution, and 7:30 in the evening in the first floor Prasadam Hall. So please attend this seminar and make best use of Prabhuji's association. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki! Yeah.